I'm excited to tell you about our upcoming seminar in Dallas, Texas on Saturday, September 13th. This is a great time to take a day away to be refreshed in your homeschooling journey. Get on the same page with your spouse, rub shoulders with like-minded families in your region, and build your family's library with books brought by our friends at Yellow House Story Shop. A literature-based approach to education will be the breath of fresh air you need as you start this school year. Visit our website at homeschoolmadesimple.net/seminars to register and make plans to join us in Texas on September 13th. The early years of a child's life are crucial for their long-term development and success. In this episode, we are talking about how home is the best nest, especially in the preschool years. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades now through her literature-based approach to education. In this episode from the archive, Carol is joined by me, Rachel Winchester, and my husband, Jesse. We talk about how we've approached the preschool years in our home over the last 9 years. We originally recorded this episode back in 2020, when all three of our children were 5 and under. Now that they are older, we still stand beside what we share here, understanding even more now just how important those early years are. Listen in.
Well, this evening, I am meeting with two of my favorite people in the whole world, my assistant, Rachel, and her beloved husband, Jesse Winchester. They live in South Carolina. They've been married about 5.5 years, and they've been blessed with 3 children, one about to be born at Thanksgiving, and then Benji, who's 4, and Lucy is 2. So welcome, Rachel and Jesse.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I asked you to talk to our listeners today about the idea of homeschooling for preschool, which kind of is an oxymoron a little bit. But a lot of families who are homeschooling are getting some pressure from well-meaning friends and relatives asking, what? You're not sending your child to preschool? Or, well, what are you going to do all day? Or don't you need a break? Or now, Rachel, you're having a baby. Oh, my goodness. How are you going to do it all? And so I just thought I'd love to hear from you about what it looks like to, in a very relaxed way, to educate your children before they're, quote, school age. What are some tips or descriptions you could give our listeners?
Yeah, I think I don't really conceptualize it as preschool, but the whole idea of pre before they start their school, their academic school. So I think the question is like, okay, if we're not, you know, you teach about better late than early. And so as you learn about that from the Moores, and really buy into that, then it's like, okay, well, what does preschool look like if we're not teaching letter recognition or number recognition, or we're not doing these activities just to learn colors or something? We're just learning in a very organic way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's been cool to watch our kids learn organically to see, oh, they just become curious. They want to count. And so they learn to count. Or they learn colors, or they learn patterns, or they learn things, but it's on their own timing and their own interests and stuff. And then we just kind of encourage that of, okay, how do we count from 1 to 10? And we practice, and then they learn to count to 10, and then, okay, what's next? And then, but it's in a, they want to know. They start counting past 10 of like, okay, 11, 13, 16, 14, you know, and you're like, okay, well.
Emily, we're girls' lesson. Yeah. That's good. So, Jesse, did you have any apprehension about this homeschool thing with, you know, your kids not going to preschool? Has that been concerning to you, or have you gotten concern from other people in your lives?
Well, I grew up in public school and grew up in a family of educators. So, so it's just different, you know, it's just a different, we live a different life than I grew up with and that we, either of us were used to really growing up. So I mean, we knew from before we were married that we wanted to homeschool our kids because we believe in it. the Lord have granted us children at that point. He did. But yeah, so not apprehension as much as just, okay, we need a guide. So we're thankful to have a guide through that. So thank you for seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I liked the way you put first things first when you're recording. Like, you got the big decisions made early on, like, and we will be homeschooled. Yeah. I love that. I love that. It's so great.
We knew, okay, big picture, we want to homeschool. We want to be the ones spending the majority of the time with our children.
Yes.
Especially when they're really young. Then once we had kids, and then once we got past the napping every few hours stage, then it was a question of, okay, now what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
He's awake. he's awake the majority of the day. He wants to do things. He's into stuff. I need to get things done. You know, what do we do during the day now that he's 18 months or 2 years old? So I think in that we felt some growing pains. And
yes,
especially I felt the need of, okay, I can do baby, but now what do I do? What do I do now? And so that pushed me to work through, okay, what's the rhythm of our day? Mm-hmm. And so I referenced, like, I would look at a Waldorf school or just be inspired by Waldorf and Montessori of, like, okay, what are they kind of structuring the day around? And then that really helped me. I did an exercise of putting the anchors in our day of what's important, and got kind of the idea of having times of inhale and exhale. So having times that are calmer and then having times that are for expressing that energy.
Oh, that's so good. That's really good, Rachel. So why don't you give us a little window into a typical day? Can you do that? Not that any day is ever typical, but what are some of those anchors in your day?
Yeah, an anchor would be we wake up and we kind of get breakfast going because my kids wake up hungry. So we get breakfast on the table, and then that also gives me time to sit there and read the Bible and have my own time while they're getting started with the day. And so then once that's done, we get ready and get dressed, and our son's learning to make his bed, and they pack their clothes away in the dirty clothes hamper. We try to brush our teeth every day.
these are wins. These are good. Yes.
And then, you know, certain days we'll wash laundry, certain days we'll wash the bedding. And so they kind of help me gather that stuff and get it downstairs.
Right.
And once we get back downstairs, we empty the dishwasher. So they each have a part of it that they do. Mm-hmm. And so recently, our son graduated from putting the silverware away. So he was very happy when that day came. And now he gets to climb on the counters and put the mugs and the jars. And
great. And I love the way you said, we do this and we do that. So you're not working while they're watching a video somewhere in the rest of the house.
Right.
But everyone's working at the same time.
Yeah.
I love that.
And
so
Benji can actually almost start the laundry himself. I mean, so he just can't always reach the detergent. So,
So at 8-4, this is a little boy who's almost ready to do the family laundry.
Yeah.
This is like music to our ears. This is beautiful because, as you know, Dr. Moore taught us not to do anything for our children they can do for themselves. And so this issue of work being a huge part of the preschool journey, because the thing about preschool kids is they love to work. It's when they get older, they're like, are you kidding me? I'm doing my nails. But when they're little, they want to work, and we're really robbing them of the joy of that.
Yeah.
So give me some more anchors. Now what happens?
So then we usually go for a walk, a morning walk.
Excellent.
I started doing that when Benji was really little, just so we would get outside immediately. And that always gave, I mean, when he was little, I'd push him. So that gave me a lot of kind of me time to exhale and just
think,
have quiet or listen to something or, you know, just be outside together, but not have to be engaging. So I think that's, it's an exhale for the child, but there also need to be exhale moments for the mom too, to just be together, but not necessarily have to be engaged, you know, face. So we usually go for a walk or at least just do something outside or yard work, or they play while I pull weeds.
Love it.
And then we'll have lunch, and that's another. And then we have rest time, and we always read at least 3 books before they rest. And they'll usually coax me into more than 3. But...
I love it. I love it.
And then they rest for an hour and a half or 2. And I was really kind of feeling discouraged because Benji wasn't resting very well for me. It was a fight every day. And then I heard you saying, like, you know, you might just have to take your 3 or 4-year-old and lay down with them.
Yeah.
And snuggle him. And then, because he usually can fall asleep, it's not that he's not tired, it's just he can't calm himself down, you know?
Yeah. So, and so getting them into a vice grip, like spoons, and then just you going, oh, mommy's so tired. Oh, mommy's so tired. You're still my baby. And then rubbing their back and lots of skin time. Yeah. And then he'll fall asleep with you.
And he especially loves it when daddy's home to do that.
No, that's the best part of all. Daddy. So, Jesse, does that get to happen often? Because you're a realtor, so I know you're working very flexible. Who knows, in, out, back and forth. But does that happen?
Yeah, I've been home a good bit lately. So it's been nice to snuggle Benji to sleep in the afternoon.
And then you do some of the reading 3, 4, and 5 books before quiet time? Yeah. So keep going, Rachel. Then rest is over.
Yeah, when they wake up.
You fall asleep, by the way? I didn't ask you that.
I usually do sleep, at least part of it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Then they want a snack when we get up. And so they have a snack. And then they usually want to eat it outside. And then they play outside until dinner's ready. And then daddy comes home.
Yes.
And, you know, the day really begins.
Now the fun begins when daddy walks in the door, right? Yeah.
So, and then we eat dinner and have a little, like, just time to spend together. Mm-hmm. And then bath and reading, and Jesse puts them to bed. We recently also, like, tweaked that so that it was more of daddy's thing to get.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about that, Jesse, because Rachel told me that you made that change.
Yeah, it's been very positive change in our home. I think they look forward to it. I mean, they still cry for mommy, but I think they're always going to do that.
Yeah.
Until they're 30. Yeah, I think they look forward to it because I take them upstairs, they get a bath. Then we usually both get them dressed, but then mommy tells them goodnight and leaves. And then I read 3, get coerced into 4. And then, you know, we pray together, and they, you know, we take turns praying, and I sing them songs and kiss them. And, you know, it's just like a really sweet, tender time for us. And I enjoy it a lot, you know, because we weren't doing it that way for so long. I would leave and mommy would pray with them and to sleep and, you know, whatever. So it's been really good to take that on and have that time with them. So.
Yeah,
that's so significant. Daddy ending out the day, laying hands on the children, blessing the children.
JJ Side here. If you're looking for a new math curriculum for next school year, I'd like to tell you about CTC Math. We've got 4 kids at home ranging in age from 16 all the way down to 8. They've got totally different personalities, but for the last couple of years, they've all been loving CTC Math. I found out the founder, Pat Murray, is passionate about teaching simply, concretely, and quickly so kids aren't sitting through really long math lectures. He's got a bunch of kids at home himself. He's a highly awarded and decorated math teacher, and he knows how to make it really fun. I'm now watching all four of my kids enjoy doing their math, and I'm watching them get more confident as they do their math. I really like that they each get to go at their own pace. They're able to master each concept before they move on to the next one. And they've made it really intuitive so you can go back and review anything that you've forgotten along the way, which is so key for math. So I'd encourage you to give it a try with a free trial they're offering. You can click the link in the show notes to learn more at ctcmath.com.
Are you wondering what to do for the preschool years? While we don't believe you should use in utero flashcards or teach a four-year-old to read, the first 7 years of a child's life are crucial for their physical, spiritual, and intellectual growth. Our early education bundle will teach you the essential groundwork every parent needs to lay in the early years. This bundle includes Carol's parenting seminar, Let the Little Children Come, plus 2 interview-style conversations with Carol and JJ. They discuss what to do for preschool and the important role of nature and play in our children's lives. After listening to the early education bundle, you'll know the simplicity of what your child needs most in these early years. This resource will give you practical instruction for raising children with eternity in mind. Use coupon code PODCAST at checkout to receive 15% off your order. Visit our online store, homeschoolmadesimple.net/store, to get the early education bundle today.
And are you reading anything good? I know that you have a heart to catechize your children and really disciple them. Are there any things you want to share, maybe with some other dads?
Well, we started at the table. We started reading.
It's the Bible storybook by David Helm that you recommend.
The Big Picture Story Bible. I adore that book. Okay, so that's published by Crossway. Love it.
We had trouble for years trying to find a children's Bible that we adored, and now we have one. So it's a great resource to have. They love it. They look forward to it. They're like, "Daddy, you forgot to read." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm trying to eat too." So we'll leave that at the table. So that's been really good, just to kind of bird's eye view the Bible story. And it's a very appropriate for even Lucy, who's 2.
I was wondering. So even Lucy's engaging with this.
And it's not so detailed that you're having to remember dates and names and, you know, it's a good overview of the Bible. So
it is. I love that book because it has a ribbon in it. So it's designed to be just read part of at a time. And I love that book. When my little granddaughter was naughty as a little child, there's a CD that used to come with it. Now you have to go online and download it. But her mommy would say, "Isley, I think you need some alone time." And so she'd put her in her little junior bed, and then she put that CD on, and Isley memorized the Big Picture Story Bible, and it's a powerful book.
Yeah, I think it's a great, it has 26 parts, and so we borrowed it from the library just to see what it was like before we purchased it, and so we've already read through it once, and so I also feel like it's a really great way to just, for them to get the whole narrative of Scripture in a short amount of time. Within a month, you can have read it day by day. And so they start getting familiar. If they recognize Abraham's name, they know Jesus, his name, you know, they know characters. So then it starts to piece, because it really is about vocabulary at this point of, you know, especially with the 2-year-old, you can tell, you know, she'll hear Jesus and she'll hear it in different contexts. And then she's putting things together and becoming familiar with the word itself, and then it builds, you know, from there. And so
and the illustrations are really whimsical and fun, I think.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Any other books that have really grabbed your family?
Bible things especially?
Yeah, particularly.
Mm-hmm. We have the Read Aloud Bible Stories by...
I was going to ask you about that.
Mm-hmm. And they really love those.
Okay, so those are the Read Aloud Bible Stories by Ella Lindvall, and Kent Puckett was the illustrator for the first edition. So tell me about the favorite. That's one of my favorite books in the whole world. So it's published by Moody Press. So what of those stories, it's multiple stories in each edition, what one have your children really connected with?
I really love when he, when Jesus walks on water or calms the storm. And we've read Bartimaeus a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, the last stories about the 10 lepers who were healed and one comes back to thank Jesus. And we've read that one a lot too.
I love that book. I've never met a child who didn't love it and didn't stop squirming if you read that book. It's just an irresistible book. And these are books that are great for, you know, grandparent presents and shower, you know, baby showers. Instead of some little tutu from Nordstrom's, buy them a book that they're going to grow up with their whole lives and hopefully someday read to their own children. So these are investment books.
Yeah, we had them when I was little.
You did? Wow, look at you, you little young thing. That's great. So anything else, Jesse, in terms of as you're mentoring and discipling little people? People think, oh, they can't really understand this stuff. It goes over their head. Has that been your experience?
No, I think they get it. I think they understand a lot more than we give them credit for. And I think it's just been important from day one to talk to our children like, speak to them like adults, but, you know, in a normal language, not baby talk, and not just try to dumb things down, just explain something as it is, and they grasp what they grasp, you know, until they grasp more. But our kids are very curious, and so, you know, explaining a biblical truth or why the leaves turn orange, you know, it's kind of the same thing at this point. So, yeah.
It's challenging because our children can be so far ahead of us and they ask such deep questions. And we really have to have our tennis shoes on every morning to run with them as they go because, whoa, they're amazing.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, you and I talked a little bit about this idea of character development, habit development. Anything that you and Jesse want to share about that?
I think the whole idea of habit, I read some of Charlotte Mason's writing. And so she kind of talks about, you know, the first 6 years being a window of time before, I guess that's her preschool, you know, would be.
Yes.
1 through 6, you know, and so she kind of has this ideal of what that would look like for the children or what they need to learn in that time. And so that was really helpful for me. And so her emphasis is on nature and then habits. And so basically, if your kids can spend a lot of time outside and you can help them develop positive habits, then they're ready.
What kind of habits? Like, what do you mean by habits?
It's about habit of attention, like helping them learn to focus and to get something done. But even too, like a habit of obedience. That really helped me to be more empathetic with my children of, okay, some of this is just a bad habit of they've just gotten in the habit of digging in the pot over and over and over again. You know, they would go out on the front porch and just take all the dirt out of a pot that I was trying to grow rosemary in. And I couldn't keep it alive because they kept pulling the dirt out of it. And I would spank them and I would punish them and I would do everything I knew to do. And it didn't matter. They would just go right back to it. So it just, you know, I eventually got rid of that. But also it just helped me be more empathetic of this is just a habit that we've got to break. They've got to stop doing it, you know. They have habits of disobedience naturally. And so we just need to learn habits of obedience of when we speak to you, we expect an answer.
Yeah.
Expect you to do what we say or to look at us or just, you know, kind of all the ways that we interact together are really habits that are formed, but we don't think about them like that.
Mm.
But that's what they are. And so just kind of focusing on, you know, Charlotte Mason basically recommends mothers to focus on one at a time and then just be really consistent, you know, even about the habit of cleaning up after themselves.
Yes.
You know, and so reinforce, you know, that's, it's really hard to let your kids do the work that they are capable of doing because I have to think about it. I have to help them develop that habit of putting the toys away or cleaning up the driveway before daddy gets home or making their bed or all these things they're capable of. But it requires effort on my part to train them to do those things.
But if you pay your dues now, you will reap for the rest of their lives, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So pay now or pay later.
Yeah.
All right. As we close, Jesse, talk to me about socialization. Aren't your children horribly antisocial or inept socially? You know, they're not with their other little 2 and 3 and 4 year olds. How are they going to learn to be kind or respectful or hardworking?
Yeah. So church is important. I think they know everyone at church, but also being connected outside of the home to the church. That's big. But then I think they're outside a lot, and we're fortunate to live in a neighborhood. So people walk by, people stop and, you know, hi, Benji and Lucy. They're like mayor and vice mayor of our town, basically. You know, we just teach them to say hi once, don't say it 10 times. That's weird. You know, so, you know, say hi, ask what is your name, tell them your name, you know, just teaching them. I think preschool is just kind of like human 101, you know, like just learning to be a person. Yeah. There's work to do. There's people to say hi to, you know, so yeah, like they're socialized. We also have family nearby. So they socialize with cousins and aunts and uncles. And
yes. So, of course, my question was facetious because your children are the most social children
right.
in America. But people would be like, well, how do you socialize your children? Who socializes your children? And the answer is you do, right? How do they know all these things, Jesse? It's because you and Rachel have taught them these things. And it's really common sense parenting. It's what people have done since the beginning of time. But you're doing a great job and your kids are so secure, confident, happy. They're learning how to work, how to be respectful. They're learning manners. You are their best teacher. But Dr. Moore used to say, you are your children's first and best teacher. Mm. And that's what you and Rachel are doing in your home. And we're all going to reap the benefit as they go forth into the world and bless people everywhere they go. So do you have anything else you want to share, either of you, with these young families that are kind of sweaty palms? They're like, I don't know.
I was thinking about, Jesse does a really good job of getting the kids, especially Benji, because he's very physical. And I think a lot of that is him being a boy, and then also the type of boy he is has caused many times where I'm like, I don't understand you, and I need you to just, I send him outside a lot because yeah. he really needs that. But Jesse does a really good job of just bringing him, they cut grass together, bringing him into the projects that he's doing. And because Benji is so eager to work and especially do the, you know, the men's work, you know.
Yeah. That's right.
A project that takes 30 minutes might take 2-3 hours.
I know. They're trying to be helpful, but they're more work, more trouble than their help. But in the end,
yeah,
it will yield fruit, won't it?
Worth it.
You're doing a beautiful job, and it's so fun to watch you, having known you since before you're even married, and now seeing you as a happy family of 5. And it's such a privilege to see the fruit of this philosophy that you've really embraced and done your homework, you've done your research. You're the kind of people that take your Christian lives very seriously. And so your parenting, you also take very seriously in a fun way. But you're not just going to be like, yeah, whatever. But that you really have put your heart and soul into raising your children, and it shows. So thank you both so much. Jesse, you want to close us in prayer?
God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for just giving us the opportunity to talk about our most important job, raising our kids. And thank you for that opportunity. Thank you that you have blessed us with a family. Thank you for Carol. Thank you for my wife and my three kids. Just thank you for the privilege that it is to come under you and lead a family. So I pray for every family that listens to this, that they will be blessed by you, and that you will just be with them every step of the way. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus's commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.